sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when all my friends are gone. He promised never to
reminder. He promised to never leave me alone. Isn't it great that God never leaves us alone? You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful reminder. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 15. We're just going to read one verse right now. We've got other passages of Scripture that we'll be referencing, but we're just going to read one verse this morning, as we get our message started. John chapter 15, and we'll read verse number 13. John 15, 13. When you find, if you could stand to your feet, and we'll for the reading of the Lord's word, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. John 15, 13 says, let's just all read it together as one. 15, 13, read it all together as one. Greater man hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What a great truth. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for the words of the song that we just heard, that you'll never leave us alone. And Lord, we know that you love us. We know that you didn't just create us as your children, but you genuinely, genuinely love us. And that was demonstrated by the fact that you are willing to lay down your life, Jesus, in our behalf as your friends. Help us as we parse this thought apart this morning and remember the fact that you died for us and that we need to remember that sacrifice as we live our Christian lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. You know, today, across the United States, families will gather for cookouts, parades, celebrations. In Indiana, where we used to live, the greatest spectacle in sporting, the Indianapolis 500, will be around this afternoon. In fact, I think it'll start here in about 30 minutes. It's supposed to start at 12:30. That's a big deal. 350,000 people in one place to watch a race. I've driven around it. I've been to a race there. It wasn't the Indianapolis 500. That place is huge. This weekend is the unofficial start of summer. Summer starts, you know, by the calendar, June 21st. But today is the unofficial beginning of summertime. And what a beautiful day it is outside for an early summer day. Memorial Day, however, is far more than that, just unofficial beginning of summer. It's a sacred reminder of the freedom that has always carried a significant cost. If you drive by nearly any cemetery today or tomorrow, you're going to see flags lining the paths and the lanes and the roads and the streets through the middles of the cemeteries. Why do we do that? Because we remember. We remember sacrifice. We remember the sacrifices of the soldiers that died in our place. We remember our loved ones on Memorial Day, whether or not they even served in the military. We remember them. It's a good day to remember that. We place graves on flowers. I've got a box in the back of my car that's got some grave flowers that we're going to set out today or tomorrow at some time. It's because we remember. You know, and it's a good time as Christians to remember the sacrifice that God laid down his own life for us. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the fact that Jesus was willing to come to this world. He gave up everything in heaven. And what does it say? He humbled himself and became obedient even to death, on death on the cross. Why did he do that? Because he loved us. Very succinctly, right here in John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. As believers, Memorial Day should be a reminder that God repeatedly commands his people to remember. Why is that? Because, you know, we're humans. We are a forgetful people. Have you ever walked into a room and then you just stand there for a minute thinking, why did I come into this room? Has that ever happened to you? Just either yesterday or Friday, I had to run an errand. And I was, you know, driving along and I pulled into the parking lot of where I was going to go. And I was going to go get a haircut. This was just a few days ago. And where I go get my haircut, it's a Great Clips. And there's this little strip mall connected to where the grocery store is. And it's like a little further down the strip mall. Well, I turned into the parking lot and just pulled in and parked right in front of the grocery store. And as I was getting ready to get out of the car, the grocery store, I was thinking, well, what am I here to get? Oh, wait, I left the house to go get a haircut. So I'd pull out of that parking spot, drove further down, parked, and went in and got my haircut. You know, we're forgetful people, right? We forget about things that are just menial, right? Sometimes we forget important things. We forget the importance of things. We're forgetful people. We forget blessings. We live our lives, and we try to minimize this and say that this isn't really how we live our lives. But we live our lives forgetting that everything that we have is from God, right? We think of ourselves as, I got that, or I did that, or I have that because I deserve it. Well, there's not a whole lot we actually deserve, right? We forget God's blessings, and we take them for granted. We forget his blessings. We forget the battles that happened so that we might have those blessings. You know, if you're old enough to remember, and I think most of us are, but if you're old enough to remember conversations that you had with parents or grandparents that lived through the Depression, you know how they didn't like to throw things away. And it's not that they were hoarders or pack rats. They know and they lived through what true want and need was. We forget lean times. We forget the battles that happened. You know, I'm not old enough really to remember even the Vietnam War, even though I was a baby when it was going on, or ended anyway. But if you go further back into Vietnam, Korea, World War II, you know, folks that lived through that have a different perspective on life than those of us who really didn't live through that do. You know, we forget the battles. We forget sacrifices. You know, there are things that Jackie and I have chosen to forego for the sake of our kids, but they're fairly minimal, I'll be honest. We forget sacrifices, but God says, remember. Here it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It says, ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. God wants us to remember why he put us here on earth. And that's to fulfill the Great Commission. That's one of the things. To be a blessing to others. He wants us to remember. So, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So, the first thing here, the first point, if you're taking notes, the first thing is the greatest expression of love is sacrifice. In this passage, this verse ultimately points to Christ himself, that he laid down his life willingly. Nobody forced him to do that. Now, there was no one else who could have done it. That is a fact. There is no one else who could have done what Jesus did. He is the only one, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's the only one that could have done it. I can't do it for myself. I am not worthy to pay my own sin sacrifice. I'm not. Jesus is the only one who could have done it. He laid down his life willingly. He died sacrificially. Amen. What does John 3:16 say? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved. He loved us so much. He was willing to die sacrificially. He died substitutionally. He was our substitute. We deserved, because of the sin curse of that is cursed on all mankind. Because of that, we deserved to die. That's really the only really one thing that we deserve, right? Is to die for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. But the second half of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He died substitutionally for us. And then he died lovingly. He died lovingly. John 3:16, for God so loved. He died lovingly. One of my favorite verses in the Bible are the two verses right after John 3:16. Look at what it says in verses 17 and 18. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Have you ever thought about the fact that the unsaved world thinks that Jesus came to the world to send people that he didn't like to hell? They think that God is this mean God that's saying, if you don't do exactly as I say, you're going to hell. That is not why Jesus came to the world. In verse 18, it says he came to the world because the world was condemned already. He didn't condemn them. The world was condemned already. And because of his love, he came to this world. And people in a world that did not deserve him, because of his love, he came to redeem people who were already condemned and to die in their place, to suffer the penalty for the sins of all mankind. That's why it says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. This principle also reflects one of the noblest things that a human being can do: willingly sacrifice himself for others. And that's what we remember on Memorial Day. We remember the sacrifices that were made for us. Throughout American history, countless men and women have embodied this principle. If you look at the history of the battles, big major battles of the history of our country, think of Gettysburg. I've never been there. I'd love to go. Think of Gettysburg, Normandy. The beaches of Normandy on D-Day were littered with the bodies of American soldiers who were there to defend and protect our freedoms. Iwo Jima. If you think of, I didn't know this battle very well, and as I was studying for this, I read a little bit about it. But in Korea, the Chosin Reservoir battle and rescue that took place. I didn't know a whole lot about it until I researched it a little bit, read about it. It's what an amazing thing. 20,000 U.S. troops surrounded by 120,000 Chinese communist troops, and yet they won. Khe Sanh in Vietnam, or Fallujah in more recent days. Freedom is never free. There's a lot that goes into these battles, and many, 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 many lives were lost so that we can sit here in this church on a Sunday morning and worship him. Freedom is never free. Never free. Every flag flying today has been purchased with blood. One of the most moving reminders of sacrifice came from World War I, from the poem In Flanders Fields. It was, of all things, written by a Canadian physician, Mr. Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae. John McCrae he wrote this poem after presiding over the funeral of a very close friend of his who had been killed in battle during the Second Battle of Ypres in Belgium in 1915. These are the words that he wrote. I mean, as you can imagine, he was surrounded by, in this cemetery, he was surrounded by rows of fresh graves, and poppies were growing up between them. And he wrote this poem. This is a cemetery, I think in Belgium, is where this is from. But it says, in Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place and in the sky. The larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders field. You know, as you see this poem speaks from the voices of fallen soldiers who challenge the living not to forget their sacrifice. One line especially captures the weight of that remembrance. If you break from faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. This poem became one of the enduring symbols of the Memorial Day remembrance. A lot of times you'll see people with a red poppy on their shirt or on their lapel or on their collar. That's a remembrance of the blood that was shed of the people that we remember on Memorial Day. Long before there were military ceremonies in Europe, God had already taught his people the importance of memorials. Turn over to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 in verse 6. Joshua chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. An example of a scripture where that we are told to remember what had happened before. Joshua chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 says this: "That this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So what's going on here? What's going on here? Here in Joshua chapter 4, Israel had just crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. It's something that Moses had dreamed of doing, but was not able to go into the promised land. Joshua is the one that continued the dream of Moses to take his people on into the promised land. They got to the Jordan River, and God stopped up the river so they could cross on dry ground. Shouldn't be a huge surprise that God could do that. He'd already done that for them as they crossed the Red Sea. They crossed on dry ground, and then he closed it up and defeated the Pharaoh's military. But God did it again as they crossed the Jordan River on into the promised land. God commanded Joshua after that happened to take 12 stones from that riverbed and to build a memorial. Why? Not that it would be a place to worship a shrine, but it was because it was for the generations to come to remember what God had done. What mean ye by these stones? It says here, when your children ask, what mean ye by these stones? What are these 12 rocks piled one up on top of the other? What's this all about? And it was to build it as a memorial, to remember what would happen. Generations would ask, what mean ye by these stones? God wanted his people to remember. He wanted them to remember his deliverance. He wanted them to remember his faithfulness. He wanted them to remember his power. He wanted them to remember the cost of obedience. They had been through so much, but God had brought them through incredible peril, incredible danger, incredible circumstance because of obedience. He also wanted them to remember the cost of disobedience. As they saw those stones, it represented so much. Here they had been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. They could have avoided that had they just been obedient. They wanted them to remember the cost of obedience, the cost of disobedience, but also the miracles of the past. Here, there was another miracle. They crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. There's probably never been a point in time in history where that the Jordan River has been dry. The only time. And that was a miracle that they were able to cross the Jordan dry. Memorials matter because memories fade. Remember what we said? We're forgetful people. Memorials matter because memories fade. So in towns across America, there are memorials. There's statues, plaques, cemeteries, flags, engraved names. Why do we have these? To some people, it's just stone or metal or cloth. But to others, that name was a father, a son, a husband, a daughter, a friend, a spouse. Those memories quickly ask, what mean ye by these stones? And we need to remember the sacrifice that they represent. It's our responsibility to answer to the next generation. We teach our children that liberty is fragile. Courage matters. Sacrifice matters. Character matters. Ultimately, more important than anything else, God matters. Our testimony for the Lord matters. Our witness for the Lord matters. Our faithfulness to the Lord matters. Those things are living memorials that we should be living out every single day of our lives.
As we come to church, as we leave from church, as we live our lives, as we go to work, as we go to the grocery store, as we interact with people at a restaurant,
we need to demonstrate the grace of God in every aspect of our lives. You know, I have to give it to people who can hold a grudge. Not really. I wish they wouldn't. But let me tell you something. I have enough trouble trying to keep a lot of other things straight in my own mind than to try to keep straight who I'm not supposed to like. You know? So guess what? I like everybody. I'm just not smart enough to remember who I'm not supposed to like. But there are things that I should continue to remember and never forget. That God has me here for a purpose. And that purpose was defined by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. The third thing that we see here. Forgetfulness leads to spiritual decline. One of the greatest dangers throughout Scripture is forgetting what God has done. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, it says here, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Nations decline when they forget the hand of God, the price of freedom, and the value of righteousness. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's a whole list of warnings and exhortations. There's just a whole long list of things. And right in the middle of it all, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through great wilderness, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of the rock and flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which the fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thy good at the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he might establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers into this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." What a dire warning. What a dire warning if we ever take for granted what God has done for us. What a dire warning if we ever forget that God's blessing on this nation is from God and God alone, not because of what we have done of ourselves. Forgetfulness leads to spiritual decline. Psalm 33, verse 12, very simply says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." America does not need less remembrance. America needs more remembrance. We need to remember the sacrifices made, the prayers prayed, the churches built, the Bibles preached, and the principles that shaped this country. When you read the founding documents of our country, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, all of these founding documents, they are filled with references to God, the Creator. A generation that forgets sacrifice and forgets God becomes very careless with blessings. The fourth thing, the greatest memorial is the cross. As important as Memorial Day is, there's never a greater sacrifice that we must never forget. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Every military grave reminds us of earthly freedom. The empty tomb reminds us
of eternal freedom. Jesus went further than any soldier ever could. He conquered not just merely an army. He conquered the sin debt for all mankind. Sin, death, hell, the grave itself, he conquered all of that. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 25. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Says this, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." That's why we take communion. Amen. Is to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed in our behalf. We remember that broken body, that shed blood. We remember the empty tomb and the promise of his return. That's one of the last things God gave us, that Jesus left us before he left the earth, is a model for how we are to remember his sacrifice for us. So today we honor the fallen. We thank God for those who stood the watch, who defended liberty and laid down their lives for others. Memorial Day must also remind us of his faithfulness, to remember God's faithfulness to us. And in doing so, we need to do what we can to reach the next generation. And above all, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The greatest memorial is not found in Arlington. It's not found in the great monuments across Washington, D.C., or the World War II Memorial in Indianapolis, or the World War I Memorial in Kansas City. Those aren't the greatest memorials. The greatest memorials are found right here in the book. Amen. The greatest memorial of all stands in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that happened at Calvary. That's the greatest memorial. If we're going to continue to be a great nation, we need to continue to live the principles taught in Scripture, not merely the ones defined in our Constitution. While our Constitution is based on Scripture in many regards, it's not inspired. It's not the Word of God. It's just the founding document that our country is founded on. But the principles, many of the principles in our Constitution come from Scripture. Yes, as Americans, we are to obey and live by the laws of the land. But this is the enduring law of all. We must remember the sacrifices. We must, as Americans and as Christians, we must continue to pray for our country. To pray for our president, to pray for those in leadership in Washington. We need to pray for those in leadership in Jeff City. We need to pray for those in leadership here in our city, in the city of Columbia, or wherever you live. Pray for those in power over you. And never forget what God has done. But most importantly, pray. You know, in 1918, there was a beautiful song that was written. We sing it at a lot of ball games even. 1918, Irving Berlin wrote the song, "God Bless America." And when he wrote it, he wrote it and it just sort of set it aside. Didn't really do a whole lot with it. But in 1938, as the world was gearing up for World War II, it was released and he revised it. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. The song kind of has an intro to the song before you get to the part where it says, "God bless America." And it goes like this. While the storm clouds gather all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. Let's stand. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
We're going to sing that one more time. This time we're going to sing it as a prayer. You just close your eyes and bow. And sing this as a prayer to God. And when we're done, we'll be dismissed. Just eyes closed, sing this as a prayer to God.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness on our land. We thank you, for your blessings on our country and on our families. And most importantly, Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made on the cross in our behalf. There's been a lot of blood shed defending our country. But Lord, the most important blood that's ever been shed in the history of the world is the blood that you shed on Calvary, so that we can have the surety of our salvation and be assured that our citizenship is not just here in this country, but also in heaven. We thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.